Hello, and welcome to Ask the Pastor, the program that provides great Bible teaching and you, the listener, with the opportunity to ask your questions. Hosted by Jim Simmons and Pastor Charles Lyons, we look forward to reading and sharing the Word of God with you. Now, in addition, we set aside time in each broadcast to hear your prayer request and go to God in prayer. The program is interactive, so be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome to Ask the Pastor with Dr. Charles Lyons and Jim Simmons. I am Jim Simmons, your co-host this evening. Tonight's program will be a special blessing as we have an exceptional musical guest with us. I'm here with the pastor of Ask the Pastor, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor, how are you this evening?
Well, quite fine, Jim, and very excited. It's a wonderful evening we're going to have. I know our listeners will be greatly blessed. This very special opportunity. We have Mark Bishop with us. He's one of the most distinctive voices in all of gospel music. He's also regarded as one of the preeminent gospel songwriters of our generation. His songs have been recorded by several of today's most popular gospel music groups. Frankly, to me personally, the power of Mark's songs are that they are like a ballad based in God's Word. His songs impact you.
Pastor, our listeners may also appreciate knowing that Mark's song, You Can't Ask Too Much of My God, was a number one song across the nation and was named Song of the Year by the Southern Gospel Songwriters Association. And 30 of Mark's compositions have landed in the Singing News magazine's Top 40 Radio Airplay chart, including 26 Top 20 songs and 3 number one songs. So, without further delay, we take great pleasure to welcome Mark Bishop to Ask the Pastor. Welcome, Mark.
Hello, gentlemen. I'm tickled to be with you.
Well, thank you so much. Mark, we begin each week by opening our program in prayer, and you'd be doing us a great honor if you'd lead us in prayer tonight.
I would be very happy to. Lord, we're so thankful to have this opportunity to share with each other and to share with the folks who are listening about your wonderful grace and your power and the mercy that you extend to us every day. Thank you, Lord, for those blessings. We pray that you'll bless this time that we can spend together and that someone out there that's listening will hear something, Lord, that you can use to encourage their hearts for the things to come. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Mark, what we'd like to do tonight to hear more about you and less about us. So if you don't mind, Dr. Lyons and I will take turns asking you some questions, introducing our listeners to some of your music, but best of all, giving our listeners a chance to know you better so they can pray for you, your family, and your ministry better. Would that be all right?
Absolutely. I covet everyone's prayers all the time.
Great. Mark, would you begin by just sharing how you came to know the Lord and began in Southern gospel music?
Well, those are, of course, two separate things. I was attending a small country church with my family. All of my family attended, and I went there with my three brothers. And I was a young man, 16 years old, and we held a revival. And, of course, I was at that age where I was old enough to feel conviction about where I was. I knew that I was without God. I was old enough to know that I was without the Lord. And they had extended an altar call one night, and it was a little country church with an old-fashioned altar at the front of the church, and I walked forward, and I knelt there at that altar and prayed and asked the Lord into my heart, and I just know that it was real by the difference that I could feel in my heart. There was just a feeling of purity and knowing that God was with me, and I've carried that memory with me to this day, and whenever hard times come, which they inevitably do from time to time, I always hearken back to that day when I know that the Lord's grace was applied to my life.
Mm.
And we began singing in that same country church. I began singing with my dad and my brother. We started out on the front porch in the evenings. At home, of course, we didn't have a lot of TV channels back then. We didn't have 200 channels on cable, so there wasn't anything on TV to watch, and it was too much work to go turn that old antenna pole to try to get something to come in.
Yes.
Yeah, so in the evenings we would sit on the front porch swing and we would just sing and harmonize, and we would sing old church hymns and maybe old folk songs, maybe something, one of those Western ballads by the Sons of the Pioneers. And soon we began singing in church, and it was something that my grandmother really enjoyed. And when she got a little too poor in health to attend church, she still wanted to hear us sing. So she gave my dad $500 for us to go to a local recording studio and record our first album. And that was all so we could have one copy that we could give our grandmother so she could still hear us sing. But,
oh, that's wonderful.
Yes, but from that album, of course, we had, I think, maybe 200 albums made, and it was all to get that one copy to give to Granny, but other people got that album and a few local radio stations, and then that sort of spread, and before we knew it, we were asked to come to other places and sing, and a year or two after that, we had a record company down in Nashville offered to record an album for us, and we had some success on the radio there, and then a booking agency from Nashville called and asked if they could represent us, and it kind of just snowballed from that. God had a wonderful plan all along.
Great.
Oh, that's just wonderful. Just a wonderful thing to see how God moves in and takes people who are willing to, you know, turn it over to Him and let them, you know, God work through their lives. You know, here on our program, Mark, we just finished going sentence by sentence through the book of Revelation, and you have a very special song called Listening for the Call, and if there's a great line that says, I can see by the word that the day is drawing near. I'm not looking for the signs anymore. I'm listening for the call. Could you share with us a little bit about how you came to write that song?
Well, it's certainly evident if you are aware of what's going on in our world today, and every new day brings more revelations that kind of
so
leave you hanging open. You know, you just can't believe that we're seeing come to fruition all the things that the Bible talked about 2,000 years ago or earlier. And I actually had heard an old-time preacher that had uttered that line. Of course, he had that country preacher cadence when he was preaching. He said, "Brother, I'm not looking for the signs. Amen. I'm a listening for the call."
Amen. That is so true.
I had to scribble that down. I thought, boy, if that isn't a ready-made song idea, I don't know what is.
Absolutely. That is just great. Yeah, there's another great line there. It said, and the monuments of sin will surely fall. And I think that is something for people to realize. It's easy for a Christian to get discouraged sometimes with all the bad news, but to realize it will fail and God is going to take control. And it's just an amazing thing to know it's not so long before He'll be taking us up to be with Him. Let's let our listeners hear a little clip from that song so they can start to catch the excitement of a message that's founded in Scripture.
In the east, on a cloud, He'll be coming for the children, and the monuments of sin will surely fall. I can see by the word that the day is drawing nearer. I'm not looking for the signs anymore. I'm listening for the call. Looking for the signs anymore. I'm listening for the call.
That's wonderful. Mark, we would love for our audience to get to know you better. I wonder if you would share with us a little about your family.
Oh, I'd be very proud to. Lord has blessed me with such a wonderful wife, and this past year we just celebrated our 31st wedding anniversary.
Oh, my goodness.
Wonderful. Yes, yeah, and the Lord, she must have prayed for patience at one time, and the Lord placed me in her life. And the Lord blessed us with two wonderful daughters. We have a 23-year-old daughter who is married now, still going to school. Both of them are, and they're going to be teachers. They love children and feel called to do that. And our youngest daughter has just turned 16 this past week, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
Yeah, she's a sweetheart. I've not been the boss at my house for a long time, but you know, for some reason, I don't really care.
Yeah. Yes.
all of these ladies.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, we're blessed to handle calls for prayer every week. Often there is a common thread of desperation or fear or hurt, yet we know we can trust God to move in the lives of His people. I think your song, I Can Rejoice, really addresses this. You wrote a great passage. When the skies begin to rain, I won't complain. I have a choice, for I have Jesus in my heart. I can rejoice. Mark, would you share some of the feedback you get from people about how has God used that song in their lives?
Well, absolutely. And I love singing that song live in concert. You can see that joy expressed, I believe, on my face. Some folks, when they come to the concerts, they say they enjoy watching me smile as I sing as much as listening to me sing. And, you know, I believe that that's a way that we can be an encouragement. We certainly are in this to win souls to Christ, and we are much more likely to win souls to Christ if we look like we have something that they want.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right that the lyric says, when the skies begin to rain, I won't complain. I have a choice. You know, I was kind of thinking of, I think I had just been reading the account of God's children being led out of Israel by Moses, and at every turn God would display his miracles, and yet still, just in a little while, they begin to complain again, you know, wanting to go back to Pharaoh. We had it better off back there, and then they'd witness, you know, God's handiwork again, and before long they were still complaining, and we do that in our own lives also. You know, God will move on our situation and make things better, and before long, you know, we are back to old habits of forgetting what He did and complaining and crying out to God. But it's a choice. It's a choice, you know, of spiritual maturity to realize that there's an ebb and a flow to life, and there are ups and downs, and even in those low spots, God is teaching us something. So there is a reason to rejoice, even in that. And we try to express that. These songs are pretty much my sermons. The Lord did not place the calling in my life to evangelize and preach or to pastor a church. But, you know, still, as a Christian, I feel compelled to share that good news of Jesus. So all of my sermons rhyme and last about 4 minutes.
Well,
that's
don't let that get out to too many people, or they'll be after their pastors pretty quick, I can assure you. You know, Mark, you also have another big advantage that, you know, each week the pastor has got to come up with a fresh 30 minutes to an hour, and people by next week don't remember what he said from last week. So, but they're still tapping their toes and still reciting the words from your song. So, you know, I think you have an edge on most pastors in that respect.
Well, I do have the advantage of not having to come up with a new song every week. At least I get to repeat mine over and over.
Can we share a portion of the song, I Can Rejoice?
Oh, by all means, let's hear it.
When the skies begin to rain, I won't complain. I have a choice, for I have Jesus in my heart. I can rejoice. I can rejoice. I can rejoice. When I'm feeling down, I still can lift my voice. When the skies begin to rain, I won't complain. I have a choice, for I have Jesus in my heart. I can rejoice. Oh, what singing! Oh, what shouting! I have Jesus in my heart. I can rejoice.
Wow, that is such a great message, Mark. I really do appreciate that. Many of our listeners to our broadcast are from outside of the United States. I was just curious, do you have the opportunity to tour internationally, or do you have any upcoming plans in that direction?
No, not for the most part, although we do visit our neighbors to the north in Canada from time to time, and we do a few Christian cruises. But never, even though we've talked about it from time to time, we've just never got that together yet.
Well, prayerfully, in the coming week, as people listen both to the program live and also by archive, Maybe that'll begin to, God can open up some doors that way for you. Certainly they're being introduced to some powerful songs tonight, that's for sure.
Well, by virtue of TV and by virtue of satellite radio now, we do hear from more places than we ever have before. And where this
well, that's just great. I know that Bill Gaither can't go anywhere without a camera, so chances are good you're out there somewhere. I understand he plans to take it with him during the rapture and try to catch some live action shots as we leave the planet.
Well, if anyone can pull it off, Bill just might be able to.
Entirely right. I have to admit, I've always been taken back by songs about the blood of Christ. And in fact, I've always sort of used that as a benchmark to say whether, you know, if it's the church has kept the blood, they're still singing hymns of the blood and things like that, you can tell there's still a strength and a power going on in that church. You know, they touched me in a way that few other hymns or songs do. In fact, you have several songs that take us back to Calvary and the cross in a very special way. One of your songs that I have in mind, of course, is titled One Drop of Blood Became a River. In that song, you remind us that even one drop of the blood of Christ had the power to wash all sins away. Would you let us into your world for a moment, and how do you go about writing a song with that kind of power to reach the lost?
Well, not just as a songwriter, but it's my obligation as a Christian to stay rooted in the Word. So I enjoy reading the Scriptures, and every time I am in that, I glean something. And I love listening to preaching. Start my day with a prayer, and I end my day with a prayer. And I try to be diligent with that, even though I have a very busy and hectic schedule, as we all do these days. I feel like that's my obligation. If I'm going to stand on a church's platform, if a pastor has invited me to come in and stand in church and share the love of Christ, then I feel like I've taken on a great responsibility, and he's given me a great liberty by unleashing me upon his flock. These are his people, and so I never take that lightly. So I would never write it. Quite frankly, as I've done this for so long now that I can scarcely get into the Word until I don't read just a few verses until I see something that would make a wonderful song. So my battle as a songwriter is that I have to tune that out sometimes and just take it for what it is and not look for a song idea, you know. And I'm sure that that pastors, preachers may face the same thing in that, okay, Lord, is this for me or am I reading for, you know, a future sermon? But if you just stay in that world, if you just stay in that, then that's how every Christian feels close to God. And of course, there's nothing that I'm like you. Nothing touches my heart any more than the stories of how Christ came to this earth and he shed his blood to make a bridge that we could one day go to live with him in heaven. And that's very easy for me to write about because it's my heart.
Absolutely. And like I said, this particular song, One Drop of Blood Became a River, is just so incredibly powerful. You know, this idea with that one drop had enough power to wash all the sins away. And, you know, I think sometimes we picture the Roman soldiers there with just cold and impersonal, and yet I can't help but think that something about that event touched them as well and just it stirred their hearts. I don't think you could have been in the presence of Christ and not been affected by that moment. But let's not put this off any longer. Let's hear just a sample of that powerful song you've shared with us.
Thank you.
Mark, we all lead busy lives and struggle to find time for our families. How does your ministry, which includes being on the road doing concerts, how does that impact your family?
Well, I actually think they may be glad when I leave for a few days. I don't know. That's absolutely the hardest part about what I do is leaving my family. I'm grateful now. For many years, of course, we mentioned earlier, I sang with my family in a group, and I travel now as a soloist. But back then, when we traveled as a group, there were seven of us. We had a band, a full band, and we traveled in a big bus and had the office and the secretary and a lot more overhead, so we were gone quite a few more days. We sang pretty regularly, about 4 days a week, and we did that for about 17 years. So I was out on the road 4 days a week for 17 years and missed a lot of things with my oldest daughter growing up. But I'm blessed now as a soloist not to have to sing quite as much. I would generally sing on the weekends, two, maybe 3 days a week. And it's a struggle to find a balance. There are some family functions that I miss, but the Lord has blessed me now to where if it's something that's pretty important, I can take off and be at home. But no one loves their family any more than I do, and no one gets more homesick out there when they're away than I do. And
mm-hmm.
I tell my wife that sometimes a hotel room feels like a prison cell to me, and I'm always anxious to get home, but my wife supports what I do, and she prays for me, and she knows that this is a far-reaching ministry, and so it's not just me that's doing this, it's my family as a team that's making this happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Well, Mark, when you said the hotel is like a prison, do I hear another song being written already?
I may have to write that one. I've
yeah.
written parody songs down through the years, just on a whim, going down the road, and sometimes I
mm-hmm.
perform those in concerts, and it's funny, but sometimes those get more requests than the spiritual songs.
That is that right?
Yeah. Well, I realize, too, sometimes that's the medicine that somebody is needing. I always enjoy singing some of the funny songs and in the concert
mm-hmm.
just because someone is there at that concert that they're tired of crying. You know, they're
right.
tired of feeling sad, and maybe that is exactly the medicine that they need, and I feel that's something that God can use. It's a tool, an effective tool in the toolbox also.
Absolutely, yes. Well, you know, being married 31 years, this next question I think would be important to us all. I think you're a good example. What kind of things have you put in place to strengthen you and your family?
Well, without a doubt, and a no-brainer is to, and I would encourage everyone, I think it's so important to take your family to church. My wife
yes.
and I met in church, and she came from a family that believed in taking the family to church, and my mom and dad did also, and we knew that would be an important building block in the future of our children, the future of our family. So our kids know what it's like to go to church, and they know the importance of prayer, and I'm proud when we go out as a family and we eat at a restaurant that we all bow our heads and we say a prayer before we eat our meal, and even in public, you know, I think that's a wonderful witness. I love
Absolutely.
Seeing family praying
yeah.
and reading the Bible, and now my daughters, as they grow up, they sing in church and have much lovelier voices than even their dad does. But we enjoy being together. We enjoy spending time together. We stay connected with, even though our kids have gone to public schools almost all their lives, you know, we live in a community, a smaller community, rural community, where I know all of the teachers in school, and I know where they go to church, and it's kind of a Mayberry existence still.
Yeah.
Not everyone has that, so I'm grateful to God that we live in a place that's like that.
Yeah, I'm envious. I grew up, born and raised in Houston, Texas, and it's not a small town at all.
Brother, I'll start praying for you right now if you'd like.
I appreciate that. Well, getting back to one of your songs for a moment, many grew up on songs about the cross. Your song, "The Nail Nobody Saw," can really get someone thinking. I love the phrase, "The world counted three nails, but they counted wrong. For the nail that nobody saw was the nail that went through his heart. That was the nail that held him to the cross." It's hard to imagine the depth of love that brought and kept Jesus on the cross. Can you tell us something about what goes into writing a song? Is it discipline? Do you schedule specific time to write? Or is it just spontaneous inspiration?
Well, I was always enthralled by songwriters growing up, and of all the aspects of what I do, the traveling and performing the concerts and recording mm-hmm. albums, I think the thing that I love the most is the songwriting aspect of it. And since I do spend so much time traveling, sometimes 6, 8, 10, even 12-hour jaunts in between dates, and a lot of those I drive instead of fly, that is my quiet time with the Lord. And,
yes.
And it's very hard for me to schedule nowadays time through the week to write songs. I used to try, but something would always come up that would distract me from that. So the Lord knows that I kind of need to have that quiet time when I'm traveling back and forth, because that's my quiet time alone with the Lord, and that's when I write songs. And it doesn't take much to inspire me to write a song. I've always got 5 or 6 going at any given time. As a matter mm-hmm. of fact, driving back home today, I wrote a song that's about something that someone had said that just kind of struck a chord. And now it's almost like an assembly line that I've formed inside of my brain. I know this goes here and this goes there, and much like you guys would assemble a sermon. I guess that's the sort of mm-hmm. structure where I assemble a song.
Well, I think the important thing for doing a sermon is you have to do a lot of reading. So I find I like that done just behind the wheel of a car. You'd be surprised if you're at a traffic light, you can read pretty good. And when the light turns, usually there's somebody behind you that gives a clue that the light's changed. So it's not a problem, really.
and what's bad is they're assuming that you're texting, probably.
Yes. Well, it's texting, but it's usually the King James text. But anyway, it works.
Well, I can't read going down the road, but so I try to do that ahead of time. And,
that's good. Very good.
And then as I'm going down the road, I don't have to worry about that.
Mark, do you ever just write something and have something that struck you and you write it, and then when you come back to it later, you think, oh, that's not any good, and you wad it up and toss it?
There have been many a number one song that I have written at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
I'll be laying in bed, and I can't even go to sleep. I'm so excited about it. And I keep a notepad by the bed, and I'll just scribble something down so I don't forget it, because if I don't write it down by the morning, it's gone. It's a million miles
right.
away. And I will write it and go to sleep thinking, wow, that's a number one song. And then I wake up and look at it the next morning, and I'm going, what was I thinking?
You know, occasionally I'll have to prepare for public speaking or something I have to submit, and I'll write something and it's so perfect, and then when I read it later I think, what were you thinking? How did you think they were going to react to that? And then when you think you've really got a good one and you get the audience reaction, they look like a sea of trout with their mouth open just looking at you, you think, well, I guess my instincts were right. Well, why don't we let our listeners hear a sample of "The Nail Nobody Saw."
With only one word, they be 10,000 strong. Counted three nails, but they counted wrong. For the nail that nobody saw was the nail that went through his heart. Oh, that was the nail that held him to the cross. That was the nail that killed him.
emotional. Mark, do you ever get real emotional and sometimes can't speak when you're singing?
Well, I do have to watch that. Of course, whenever you hear something and it kind of catches you by surprise, you tend to have more of an emotional response.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't be surprised by my songs anymore because I've sung them so much and we work on them in the studio. So, but I,
yeah.
I get that about other people's songs and
stuff mm-hmm.
that I listen to. But now, every now and then, I will just the gravity, perhaps, of what the Lord has done in my life, and will come through. And while I'm singing a song, and I have to watch myself because I feel like I'm afraid that I'll be cheating someone else if I get choked up on a song and can't finish
yeah.
it. Well, and I'm hearing it in my mind and responding to it, but they don't have anything to respond to. They're just watching
mm-hmm.
a grown man cry on the stage now.
Mm. Well, I'd still rather see somebody that has got a heart that's broken for souls. And I mean, that carries more power than most people could ever utter in a word. That's pretty amazing.
Well, I'm definitely a crier, and I got that from my dad. My dad,
yeah.
He pastors a small country church now that we used, of course, the group used to travel, but now when he retired, he started pastoring a little country church. And when he gets up and preaches, he's definitely a crier, and I get that too. It doesn't take much before my lower lip will start quivering, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I remember that I went to a church when I was going to Bible study and learning the trade, and had this great pastor, Dr. Raymond Tracy, great old country man, had a real thriving church, and he could not preach a message without coming to tears, and he'd pull out, you know, this great big hanky and just, you know, have to wipe away the tears and clear his nose. And I remember on one occasion he was doing that, and he sort of muttered to people, I said, you know, some of you folks have complained about me using a tissue in the pulpit, and I just want you to know there'd be a lot more people complaining if I didn't use it. So, yeah. Quite a character. Just.
Who was it that said that if your eyes leak, your head won't swell?
There you go. That's so true. That's so true. You know, that song that we just played the clip from, you know, there's a line in there that I just want to freshen people to. You know, it says that he drew the hammer back, he chanced to glance into the eyes that were mad at tears, and he hated the ring of that hammer each time it fell. That's what I was talking about earlier. You've got some songs that just make us think about different things, different aspects of
mm-hmm.
the crucifixion that we need to pull back and realize these were people. These are not just stories. This is what really happened, and I mean, it just adds more power to the moment when you hear it sung, and you hear it sung with a description of what perhaps people were feeling and experiencing during that time. It just brings it to life in such a wonderful way. I have to thank you for that, Mark.
Well, God bless
right.
you for that, and like I said, that is my heart, and if you listen to very many of my songs, especially those that reiterate stories from the Bible, that's one of my favorite exercises, I think, is placing myself there when it happened. You know, sometimes we read these scriptures, and this may be a result of, you know, all of us growing up going to Sunday school, and we hear these stories so many times that they become legend to us. And are we seeing, you know, what God wants us to see in it in a fresh way? And so I kind of take it as a challenge. How can I make this story fresh for the listener? They know that Lazarus was dead, but that Jesus raised him, and you know, we shouldn't take that for granted or look at it you know, as routine ever. These are wonderful things that can speak to our own situation. So yeah, I like to imagine what were the soldiers doing, the people that were there, what was the atmosphere, and is there some way in a 4-minute song that me and the listeners can take a journey and experience that just a little bit?
And, you know, to me, that's a great sermon, too. And when a pastor can, you know, have people, you know, feel the heat of the summer and feel the breeze coming in off the water and suddenly realize here comes Jesus walking you know, and to share that message, where they can feel a part of the moment and start asking the real questions that anybody sitting on that hillside might ask. It just becomes more powerful. Then they're realizing they're not just words anymore. This is what happened. This is what my Lord did. And it just makes it so much more strong, more powerful, more personal. And I just have to thank you for blessing
you. And that's what it's intended to do. It's amazing when you read the scriptures, and maybe it's something that you have read before, and then your life circumstances change, and you come back to it. Well, suddenly you read that scripture, and it becomes alive to you in a brand new way, because before it was just a wonderful story, but now it's become my story, because that's me in that situation. And here's how God handled that situation then. And if I believe and pray and trust, he can do that same thing for me.
Yeah, wow, that's great.
Well,
go ahead, Jim.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think sometimes what you've said about three or four times, I think the audience needs to hear that, because you would be missing a great deal of this relationship had you not, what you said earlier, made time to be with the Lord, spend time alone and in his scriptures. So I think that's important for them to hear.
Well, absolutely. It is for all of us. You know, one great question that I'm sure that you guys hear, of course, on Ask the Pastor is, why does God not speak to us today like he did in the Bible? Why isn't he communicating with his people today like he did then? Well, they didn't have the book that we have. God is speaking to us. Every situation that you could imagine in life is covered in this book. It's not God's reluctance to speak. It's our reluctance to listen to what he's already saying to us. It's there.
Well said.
It's just a matter of picking it up. And if your heart yearns for it and you care enough to search for it, it's definitely, he's already spoken it. It's there. Your situation is covered.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
So true. When you realize that anybody who wants to have a copy of the Word of God can have it for themselves, you know, whether it's printed or in your phone or in your computer, and, you know, to realize there were people old in the early part of the New Testament, you know, that was a luxury they couldn't afford, and it wasn't even available if they could have afforded it. So we are so blessed in ways that, like I say, the people that we tend to be wondering, say, well, why can't we have it like they had it in the Bible? We ought to be thankful we have it like we do have it, because we have the completed Word of God in our hands to carry with us. It's amazing.
Absolutely. He's speaking. The question is, are you listening?
Oh, that's so true. That's so true.
Hey, there,
you know, Mark,
there's
I want to thank.
I may have to write that.
By all means, let us know. We're definitely going to want to get a copy of it. I want to thank you.
Pastor, I see a lot of royalties tonight.
I thought you were going to say. We definitely want a cut of those royalties is what I thought.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, mercy. Now, let me ask you, what do you enjoy most about your ministry?
Oh, the people. I feel blessed that I get to hang around the cream of the crop. I go from group of Christians to group of Christians, and I have found in all of my travels, and I have sung in every denomination that you can imagine, in some churches that didn't know what denomination they were. They just loved the Lord, and they read the Bible, and I found that God has wonderful people everywhere, and every church, they've got that, at least that core of people that love him and are hungry for his word and hungry for his leading, and
yes.
And I get to meet these people, and we get to share together about the good things that God has done. And some places I go to, I would like to stick around longer than I do and get to know them better and get to spend some time with them. But there's always another group of people somewhere else, and that I get to share the goodness of the Lord with so many different people and meet so many just nice, great people just assures me, you know, that if you were to watch our popular culture, you know, in the movies, the television or magazines or newspapers or radio or whatever, you would think that we were a distinct minority and that our beliefs are out of style. But I'm always uplifted every week by how many wonderful people that I meet that love the Lord.
Oh, that's so wonderful. And it's so true. I mean, there are people out there, you know, if we can be genuine, we're going to find believers who will just come out of the woodwork that want to share with us. And by the same token, if we're genuine, there's also people that are hurting that they'll make their way to us because they're hungry for somebody that has the truth and hungry for somebody that has a heart to share. And so you're right. People are what make ministry really come alive. Yeah.
Well,
and out of all of our people, there's a special group I want you to address. That's our young people who might be listening. Yeah, and some of them have dreams of writing music. What kind of advice would you give to them?
Well, I would definitely say to follow your heart, and what speaks to you now is also relevant to someone else now. And the songs that I wrote as a young man would be very different from the songs that I'm writing these days as a 49-year-old man. And now my children, my girls, my young girls, they write songs and share those in church. And it's amazing to me to hear in their lyrics what is important to them. Sometimes in our kind of music, I'm singing a lot of songs about going home and meeting folks that have gone on. And Lord, thank you for the peace in my life. And those are not necessarily topics that are relevant to them, because when you're a 19, 20, 21-year-old young man or woman, the last thing you're thinking about is going on to spend time in eternity. You're invincible.
That's right.
You know, you're not
That's
thinking
exactly
about
right.
going home. You're anxious and hungry to get out there and win souls to Christ right now, and
right.
to worship God in a different way. And that's okay, because that's where they're at in life, and all of us are at different stages, and song styles, stylistically, everyone likes different kinds of music, and that the gospel message is represented in all kinds. Whatever your musical tastes are, there is a Christian version of it out there, and I think that's wonderful. I don't personally care for the heavy metal, Christian rock type music, just because I love the clarity of lyrics, but there is someone out there that reaches that I will not be able to reach with my kind of music, so it has validity in that way. I would just encourage that young person to write what speaks to your heart, and even though you feel like it's very personal and perhaps just can't speak to anyone because it's so personal, I found through experience that there is someone out there that's going through the exact same thing that would be blessed by what you have to say.
Yes, no, that's great. You know, I realized too, as you were talking about how as an older person you tend to focus on going and being with the Lord and being in heaven. I guess that's another way that older people and children are so much alike. You put a child in the car going somewhere, and you're always hearing, are we there yet? Are we there yet? You take an older person, give them a gospel song, and put them in church, and they're, are we there yet? Are we there yet? They're ready to go to heaven now.
I feel for poor music ministers these days, because at any given church on Sunday morning, if while they were having services inside, you were to just wander through the parking lot and look through the cars, you might see CDs from every kind of music. You might see praise and worship, and the next one may have bluegrass, and the next one may have rock and roll or country or classical, and everyone has different musical tastes. And then all of these people, they sit in the congregation, and the poor music minister has to try to find some kind of music that will appeal to all of these different tastes that are sitting out there.
Wow.
What I have found is it's not the music. If you're, it's the lyric. It's what you're saying in the music. That's where the dose of medicine is. You can transcend whatever musical style if you engage their heart. Well, then they're listening in a different way than with just their ears.
Absolutely, absolutely. By the way, tell me, do you do any social networking like Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, communicating your ministry and what you're doing?
Well, they've tried their best to drag me kicking and screaming into this century. I am an analog guy in a digital world, but we do have our website is markbishopmusic.com. where they can learn a lot about our ministry and hear samples of music and read lyrics and a lot of other interactive things there. And we are also on Facebook. They can find us at Mark Bishop Music if they search for that on Facebook. And we certainly invite people to like that page, and they will get to hear from me quite frequently. I get on there and we'll post little things about what's going on, what the Lord is doing. They can also, at our website, sign up for our email newsletter. And once a month, I will send out an appearance schedule and usually write a little note of what the Lord is doing in our lives.
Oh, that's wonderful. And, you know, I think the idea of including the lyrics is very special. I haven't seen that very often. And I think every song you've ever written must be on that website. And I spent some time there and was just truly blessed. You know, like I say, your songs are powerful to hear, but they're powerful reading as well, just to read through there. And they are, as you say, four-minute sermons and just incredible message. I'd like to share a clip from one of those songs now, by the way. Powerful impact, powerful message. You know, I recall a study from the Barna organization. They indicated that most praying people believe that God will answer their prayers for others, but not for themselves. And I think that's where your song, He Never Sleeps, really puts that sentiment into words. You have a phrase, who am I to believe, and what gives me the right to expect God to come when I cry in the night? And I think that is something that many people are troubled by, and they need to know that God is faithful to meet them at any moment, any time when we call out. Great song, Mark.
Somewhere up in the morning, while the world is asleep, well, I'm just sitting here crying the tears that nobody sees but me. I can keep up a good front. I can appear to be strong, but in my heart I have reached desperation. I'm standing here all alone. Who am I to believe, and what gives me the right to expect God to come when I cry in the night? He never sleeps, He's never
Tonight, we focused on an assortment of your songs for the benefit of some of our listeners who were hearing you for the first time. However, I just recently got your CD, This Is What It's All About, on the Sunlight, and that's S-O-N-L-I-T-E label, which I'm really enjoying. But now, for all our listeners, would you take just a moment and let us know how you can find out more about your ministry, your concerts, and how they go about purchasing your CDs. And along with that question, I'd like to ask you, where did you come up with Possum Run Music?
Well, now you know I am from Kentucky. That should pretty much explain it there. Possum Run is an area of the county that I lived in and still live very close to right now. But when it was time for us to choose a name for our publishing company, we are a BMI-affiliated publisher, you have to send in your choice of a name and then five alternates or four alternates. And we sent in four very normal-sounding publishers: Bishop's Music, Mark Bishop Music, Front Porch Music. And on a whim, for the very last one, I thought, well, surely one of these others will be available. And I just put Possum Run Music as the last one. And all of the others were too close to an existing publisher, so they chose Possum Run Music for our publishing company.
Wow.
So now I've had the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir singing one of my songs off of Possum Run Sheet Music. I just got a thrill out of knowing that somewhere in New York City, there was a choir that was singing from a songbook that had Possum Run Music on the back of it.
So this excellent. Didn't have anything excellent. To do with George Jones out of Beaumont, Texas, then,
no.
right?
No. The no, possum. unless he came here and founded the place, I don't think so. But now, anyone that would be interested, if they've heard something that's blessed them, or they think that they would be interested in these songs, that they're very Bible-based songs, which goes without saying. The places that I mentioned a while ago, they can learn about our ministry at our website, Mark Bishop Music, and our Facebook page, also Mark Bishop Music. If they'd like to just get something right now, if they heard something that they were blessed by, of course, our music is also available on iTunes and Amazon. If they search for Mark Bishop, they'll find it.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I would share with you that I can tell you from Kentucky, because it was, you know, Possum Run. Because I spent a lot of time in Mississippi over there, it would have been named Possum Caught, Possum Fried, and Served Up for Dinner. So it would have been a longer title.
Well, I've never tried it. I don't know if there are any local restaurants that serve that. But
oh, really?
I don't think that it would be my cup of tea.
I don't know.
If it's not served properly, it'll give you the possum run. So you got to be careful. So. sorry, Jim gets that way sometimes. But anyway, you know, we do want to thank you for being with us tonight. You know, it's just such a blessing, and I hope that you will join us again in the future sometime. It's your music has touched more lives than I think you could ever imagine. And the strength of them, because it's based in the Word, just continues to move on hearts. And like I say, the rhythm of the song, the melody line, but the strength of the words just keep. It's something God can continue to work in a person's heart, even in the still of the night when they have trouble sleeping, it'll come back to them. And I think you have to know that God has used you to touch some lives. And before we close out, I was just wondering if you have any final words that you'd like to share with our listeners.
Well, I would just like to thank you guys for spending some time with you, and I appreciate the work that you're doing also at On Ask the Pastor. And so it's my privilege, and certainly for folks that are out there listening, you know, there have been many a time when I've been driving down the road and listening to the radio, and my heart was heavy, and I was just calling out to God, Lord, please send me a word, send me a message, let me know, you know, what I need to do, or that you're even there. And I would hear a song, or I would hear someone say something, and I just had a peace in my heart knowing that God was speaking to me right now. Maybe someone's out there listening right now, and your situation's not ideal, and your heart is heavy, and you're in a situation where you think, I can't handle this on my own. Can I tell you that maybe God had you listening to this for a reason, and let us encourage you and tell you you're not alone, and there is a God that loves you, and he wants to be a part of your life. And it's just as easy as calling out his name and asking and saying, Lord, I need you in my life. I know that I've made mistakes, and I want to own up to those, and Lord, I want you to help guide my steps through the remainder of my days. I can promise you that he will answer that prayer.
Amen.
Well, Pastor, won't we have a link on our webpage where if they want to click and hyperlink over to Mark Bishop's website? Will we have that on our website?
It will be there in the morning. And also, as Mark was sharing with people, if you've never called out to God, never asked him to become your Savior, to save you, just want to remind folks that that's also on the website on the very first page. That's a priority. So just go to rightlines.com, scroll down the page, and you'll see the plan of salvation in a little video format where we can just walk you through the scriptures. That is the authority, not our opinions, not our ideas. We can attest to the fact that it works, but it's God's word is the reason we trust it. So that's what's there for them if they go to the website. Jim?
Well, Pastor, I think we always take this opportunity. There's people probably listening saying, well, I was hoping I'd find out how can I become a Christian? And on the webpage, you'll find, and we use it as our text, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So we encourage you to go to the website, and you'll find a lot of helpful resources. Pastor?
Well, I thank you so much. Again, I thank Mark for being with us here this evening. It has been a very special time, and I encourage our listeners, please, if you've been blessed by Mark, please pray for him, encourage him, and the work he does, the hours he's on the road, the demands that are there on he and his family, they warrant our prayers. He has blessed us, so it's the least we can do is to pray and encourage him to support him in that manner. And as he mentioned before, if it has touched you, by all means, get some of the resources. Look through his site. Get some of the CDs. They're not just for you. Realize that this is a powerful tool. You've got people in your life that are hurting. His songs carry the message of the gospel, carry the message of healing. Use those songs. Some of them are, as you heard tonight, are very upbeat and an up-tempo. Others are, like I say, like a ballad with a lot of heart, a lot of passion. But it's got the message straight from God's word, which will allow you to have a healing time, to be strengthened, to be refreshed. So we thank Mark for allowing God to use him the way he has. But again, I would encourage you to benefit from what God has done in his life through his music. If you can't, you know, attend where he's doing a concert sometime, which you can find out about on his site, certainly get some of the music there on CD and a lot to continue to bless you and encourage you. And also, on behalf of Jim, I'd like to ask you all to come and join us next week as we'll begin our series on the book of Philemon. We'll be going through there for 3 weeks. Not a well-known book, but a powerful, powerful message that is there to be shared. And as we close out tonight, we're going to let you listen to another one of Mark's songs. And I pray for you. What greater question to ask, and how blessed to know there is a godly answer for it.
Can I seek his face? Can I plead your case? That's what praying is for. I'll help you carry your cross and find a way when you're lost. It will let Jesus be true. I know that he'll see you through.
Can I pray for you?
Can I pray for you?
Can I mention your name to the Lord?
Thank you for joining us today on Ask the Pastor. We hope that you found the time beneficial, a blessing, and that you will join us again soon. If you had a question and did not get a chance to ask it, please email your question to us at askthepastor@whitelions.com. We will try to respond to your question either by email or answer it on the air during a future broadcast. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we encourage you to explore our website for encouragement and great resources. You can find us at www.whitelions.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.